I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is that good for you, kegs?
Kegs?
Yeah, kegs. Yeah,
kegs. Lager.
I call it kegs because it's beer keg.
Kegs.
Because me and kegs are a lot of headstands.
Pints.
What do you mean pints? What are you talking about?
Pints, kegs.
Why do you sound like Danny Dyer when you're doing that? I didn't get it.
No, I was doing an impression of you down at the pub last night. Or where were you?
I wasn't even in the pub. I was in Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah. Well, that you can't talk about that.
So if I go to the bar and order a drink, how do I say it?
What kind of drink are you ordering?
A vodka soda.
What, can I have a vodka soda?
Why do I sound like that?
Jamie's never sounded like that.
I've never sounded like
no,
that.
No, you don't sound like that. No, you're more like, hi, can I have a vodka soda, please?
Why am I like nervous as well?
You do sound a little bit like...
Can I have a vodka soda, please?
Why are you hunched up as well?
That's how you do it. You put your hat... Can I have a vodka soda, please?
I go to the bar and I go, hey, what's up? I go, hey, what's up, homie?
Can I have a vodka soda, homie?
I go, hey, man, what's up?
And then
it's more like proud.
You roll your sleeve up. You're like, right, can I have a vodka soda, please?
Visually, podcasts aren't visual, so they can't see what you're doing right now.
Well, they know what I'm doing.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Now, listen, this is very important because...
We've got a special guest.
We have the most special guest, actually.
This is our biggest guest we've ever had.
Biggest guest we've ever had. Also, someone who's very special to me, and I'm sure to you, France, as well.
Yeah.
Miss Kagi Dunlop. Dude, Kags, firstly, can I tell you that when we announced that we were having you on our podcast, our Instagram pretty much blew up.
No.
I'm not even kidding.
You've done that thing where, you know, like absence breeds intrigue and respect because you've just disappeared. Like, and so now everyone's like, shit, I want to hear what she's up to.
That's actually, hey, this is the place. This is basically like Desert Island Discs. We just
pretty
like,
much, yeah.
Yeah, we ask you about
my two goals in life.
We ask about anal.
Speaking
and
of Desert Island Discs. I'd quite like to hear your new song.
We'll get to that.
You were just straight in there? if you were the host of Desert Island, it'd be tossed.
No. I'm just putting that out there so we can listen to it at some point during this podcast.
Yeah, we're going to, man. Hey,
because you've heard it, but I haven't heard it.
I reckon, like, I'm going to speak about it. This is what I was talking about the other day. You know when we were younger, especially, you know, and you being a girl, right? And we can talk about this because I know
a woman,
you're so,
actually.
Or woman.
A woman now.
But back in the day when you used to hook up with a girl,
how do you know she did that?
I'm saying when I used to hook up with girls. And why when you used to hook up with girls and you would hook up with them, why, you know, you just kiss them, you would try and do more, obviously, as a guy. Why would they then be called, oh, they're frigid? Like, why would that be, like, such a terrible thing?
Is that what you said?
No, do you remember that back in the day?
If a girl wouldn't do what you wanted
sex,
her.
Yeah. Yeah, if they wouldn't have sex, you would call them frigid. Do you remember that?
I'm so confused as how we got here.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
No, but this is Jamie's...
This is just like a stream of consciousness of Jamie.
This is Jamie's style. Like, sometimes he'll actually change topic in the middle of a sentence.
That's exactly what he did.
Like multiple times. And you're like, wait, what? How did I... Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
he
true.
He never actually says anything, but he'll say a stream of like three or four different things stuck together.
Hold on, we're just being...
Just getting past Corona.
Yeah, we are just being...
Oh, wait, it's not Corona.
It is a Corona.
Yeah, but I mean...
Francis, it's your business now. You should know.
No. That's not a Corona.
Me and you've known each other for what? I would say 15 years?
We met when
14 years?
We met when we were 15. Where did we meet?
I met you. I met you once before. You won't remember it. No, honestly, but the first time we actually, I suppose, connected, right, is that we went to a party together.
I know where you're going with this, but I do remember us meeting in Cornwall.
Yeah, we met in Cornwall.
We were there
for
a week.
Yeah, we met in Cornwall. But the first time we actually connected.
Oh.
You're going to tell the train story.
It was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. I'm not even kidding you, man. It was freaking insane. You talk about how, like, Jack and Danny, right? There's, like, soulmates.
Oh, the meeting of two soulmates.
If you'd watched this, you'd be like, holy shit, it's like a movie.
It was like a film.
Okay, so I'm going to set the scene. But basically, we're at Jack said his name again. Can't you? Yeah. At our friend's country house, he's a good guy, and he was at school with me year above. And Kags was, you know, friends with a lot of people in the year above. And I think you were dating someone at that point. You were dating someone or someone.
I think I just had my heart broken for the first time.
Oh.
And then I met Jamie.
Welcome to the party. And we went to this party, okay, Francis, and we were like, I thought I was flirting with you all night. We'd gone to the swimming pool, we were like flirting, and you're like, wherever the guy was like getting a bit annoyed and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, long story short, wake up the next day, and Kags and I go to the train station together. And we get to the train station, and we've been flirting the entire time, and we've been going back and forward, this whole kind of thing, like flirty. And I was like super keen. And anyway, we get to the platform. It's one of the train stations that have two platforms and a bridge going in between, right? So the only way to get to the other platform is via the bridge. Kags on one side, I'm on the other side, standing here looking at each other. And we're having this conversation, and we're talking back and forward. And I said something like, "Can I have your number?" I went, "Can I have your number?" like that. And I said, "Can I take you on a date and have your number?" And Kag said yes and gave me her number. And as she finished her number, the train went past that. And she got on the train and went. And it was honestly one of the most romantic things I've ever seen.
It was fucking lame. It doesn't sound as good as it was.
But then, so what happened? Then we went to Leeds University together, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We went to Leeds University. We did Leeds together and all that. And then I suppose where it starts is obviously, I think what everyone probably knows you initially.
Who'd like it?
Okay. Me.
Oh, sorry.
It
was an accident. I accidentally kicked.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Freak. Anyway. But what everyone knows you initially for is obviously Made in Chelsea. And I think that probably people don't really know is, why did you make the decision to do it? Actually, you as well, Francis, both of you. Why did you both make the decision to do it in the first place?
Isn't that a loaded question?
Well, probably for different reasons to why you decided to do it.
Why did you decide to do it?
I wanted to be famous, yeah, which is true.
Because it was already a big show by the time you joined.
Because I wanted to get laid. Yeah. And
you were like, "Hey, guy." Blake, you were watching everyone and be like, "Shit, they're really getting a lot of action." No, I remember doing it. Like, I remember doing the pilot, and then they said, "Okay, well, you don't have to do it, but you know, I went away to the States for Christmas and came back, and they're like, "Right, well, it's been commissioned for E4 prime time." And so I remember thinking, and this is
what's happening.
This
ring.
And then I remember thinking, okay, well, this is either going to be a huge flop and like no one's going to remember it, and it will be like one of those embarrassing things that I did when I was younger, or it will be a huge success. And particularly, I thought it would be like big in America. And I think we even spoke about
Being big in America.
No, I thought that the show, because I thought English people don't really like posh people that much, and Americans actually love them, and it was like the same time as the royal wedding and all of that. So I kind of thought, oh well, if it's a flop in England, it might be a success, like the Hills had done in the reverse here. But then, so I was just like, okay, well, I might as well just do it, and that was it.
And here you are doing a podcast, right? And Kags, what was your idea behind it? You were just like intrigued almost?
Well, at the beginning, I remember because Spencer and Hugo have been trying to make this happen for years before it actually did. So I didn't think it would ever amount to anything. And then it was when Millie got involved and she was like...
But that wasn't the same. It was a completely different thing that they did. They did something. They tried to do something called The Smoke, right?
Yeah, but as in my... I thought that it would never... Nothing would ever come of it. Do you know what I mean? And then when Millie was like, "I'm going to do it," I was like, well, to be honest, I'm not really... I wasn't doing anything very interesting at the time. I was like babysitting. So I was like, I'll give it... It was when also I just decided that I liked singing. But as in, I just decided it was something I quite liked doing.
Just quickly, on one of my talents, I remember that moment. You went to acting school in New York and they asked you to sing, didn't they?
Yeah, God, I couldn't.
Yeah, but something happened where they asked you to sing and you suddenly realised that you could sing and that...
No, I mean, for the whole time at school, I wasn't able to ever get up and perform. I was too scared. That's like, it's always been my biggest fear. And then it was actually that I had recorded myself on my laptop. And my dad opened it at Christmas time and it's just started playing. And he was like, "Is that you?" And that's how it kind of started. They were like, "You should, you know, explore this." Yeah. But then the first time I ever, ever, ever sung in front of people was on Made in Chelsea.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember.
Were you drop in the ocean?
No.
It was at the garden party, right?
It was at the Troubadour.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah. And I gave you a rose.
Yeah.
And then I got buoyed off.
They did make me leave it on the table.
Yeah. Oh, well, they made her. So, but it's all real. Who knows what she would have done?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wait, hang on. So that's the first time you'd ever sung in front of anyone. But then what gave you the confidence to kind of go and do it there then?
I think it was because when I spoke to the producers of the show, they were like, you know, you can.
It'll be great. Yeah. You're going to be famous.
But little did I know that actually when they said, you know, she's going to sing on the first episode, they're probably like, it's going to be terrible and she'll mess up and everything. Because that would have made great TV.
Better
too.
TV.
Better
sure.
TV, yeah. So I just thought, wow, these people are really like supporting me and whatever. And because they organized the whole gig, all I had to do was kind of turn up. So.
But how much were you, weren't like shitting yourself, right?
I was terrified, yeah.
Because also it's like, and that's not only just putting yourself out to like a group of people, that's putting yourself out to the whole country.
But I don't think I really comprehended at the time how many people were going to be seeing it. Mm-hmm. I just thought, I don't know, for me it was just getting over that.
But I remember at that time when we were filming the first season, we had no idea like how big it was going to be. We had no idea like actually whether people would even watch it.
It was
completely unknown in the sense that what the outcome and repercussions and sort of fallout from doing it would be.
But yeah.
It sounds so dark. But that's the thing also, I think the repercussions of doing it. Because obviously there were a lot of repercussions
for sure.
From doing it. And we thought, I think both me and Francis kind of were in a similar boat in the sense that we thought it would either go under the radar or be really good, but in a way it was kind of both.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it wasn't both. It was really good, but also it's like celebrated for like...
No, you're
exactly.
Like,
that's the thing. Yeah.
Like, didn't think about that one.
Yeah. I know what you mean in that
sense.
We
didn't realise we'd be the butt of the joke.
Literally, I was like, oh, so it's successful, but we're still hated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so, but then also, I suppose like the biggest thing about it, so you went on the show, you did it, you were the main person. It was, you know, it was the Kaggy show. That's what it was.
I'm Kaggy, and this is my work.
Oh God, anyway, there's so many arguments about
that monologue.
Take me to Chelsea.
Was it Take Me to Chelsea?
They went in and they'd written that out, and I was like, I'm not saying that. That's ridiculous. I'd never say that. And they were like, well, you have to, otherwise we're getting the head.
Not that it's scripted or anything.
You fall down and whatever. So I was like, yeah, because it almost like it create. You're almost like a parody of yourself.
Yeah, well, that I guess that's the thing. And none of us really realised at certain points they were deliberately doing that to like make us a parody of us.
But either you're
in the first season,
but that was the fact because they were trying to make a TV show that had never been made, right? So they were doing.
So they were finding their feet as much as a lot of the people on it now.
I think as the show evolved and you know the framework of it became for me a little bit more negative and manipulated, I was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, but do you understand how like massive this is the biggest point, right? Is that you were the main person on the show, you were the most loved, you were the sort of the queen of it,
the star.
You were the star of the show, and you did how many? True. Did you three, four series?
I left on the third.
So you left on the third. So you three series in when it still hasn't hit its peak. It's still on the rise, and you suddenly go, you know what? I don't want this. Firstly, that takes big balls, and secondly, why? What was the decision? Why do you go and do it?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Why did I leave?
Why did you leave? Yeah.
It was tough.
This is something that's incomprehensible to Jamie, who's never...
What, yeah, what the hell? Yeah. What, you would leave?
Sorry, explain this to me. You left season 3?
Yeah. I'm season what, 148? And I'm still a cruiser.
Season 2 till you die.
Yeah. Yeah, here I go. I will bury myself with the show.
You'll go down with the sinking ship.
Yeah, of course. I'm the captain. I'm going to go down with it. There we go. Wait, so you, because you did, it was at the peak. It wasn't even at the peak. It was on the rise. And you were like, actually, just, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I just didn't want that to be the thing that defined me, really. I mean, in many ways, it still is, unfortunately, but hopefully it won't be for long. But I just didn't feel like that's what I wanted to be doing. Mm. It didn't feel very good.
But do you know how like insanely like strong that is to make that decision, especially what you would have been 23, 22, yeah. And you know, to go, you know, you're out of university, you kind of got this job, which is a pretty good little gig going on, got all these things going on, and suddenly you go, you know what, this isn't what I want to do. This, because most people just stick around and go and do it. And what is so funny is that I heard this quote the other day, which is so true, is that ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. Mm. And that, it was just easy. You could have gone.
It was an easy gig.
But you went against that.
It was all kind of written out for me. I mean, I could see how things would go, and they were going to go well in terms of like success or like financial, whatever, things like that. But it just didn't feel
right,
truthful or yeah. Right. Yeah. It didn't really connect with who I am.
Well, that's why I left and went to West Africa for 4 years, 3 or 4 years.
You did that? That's why you went?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was partly because I was just kind of like, I needed a break. And also because the business down there was kind of taking up more and more of my energy and concentration.
What the hell have I been doing? Why am I so, I mean, I'm just still cruising.
But also it's different because you saw it and you're like, I want to be involved.
Yeah,
you
made a decision.
Almost like the guinea pig.
You made a decision like, okay, actually I want this to be my career.
No, but I did. See, this is so different. I didn't. No, I didn't make that decision.
Sorry, he's getting defensive.
Just distracting.
No, the thing is, like, I think when we did the first season, we didn't know what was going to happen. We kind of did it thinking somewhat that it was going to be like one season, something we did when we were young, or at least for me, never in a million years did I think it was going to go on for 15 seasons or whatever it is now.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. And like, and so I kind of thought, I hadn't planned on doing it for longer than a year or two. Like, it wasn't in my my long-term strategy, certainly, to be on a reality TV show. It was not something I'd imagined. But then,
no, man, on Jamie's. No, well,
it was definitely.
Hey, it's been
definitely
a roller coaster. Hey, it's gone like gone in a flash. It has. No, listen. Can I set the story straight? I did not.
Joined it.
No, I
when it was,
I joined it. I joined it for lots of different reasons, but I joined it because.
Ladies.
But also, I didn't jump at the for the girls.
For the
I didn't. I joined it because I wanted to do television. That's why I joined it.
Oh, yeah.
But I was going back and forward with this whole thing. I was offered a job. I was offered a job and I turned down the
job.
I was offered a job.
You're saying Maiden Chelsea's not a proper job?
Well, I don't know, man.
It's your first proper job, isn't it?
No. I've had a couple of jobs. What was your first ever job?
It was working in a pub. That's what I was doing.
So was mine. Washing dishes in a pub.
Yeah. And then...
What pub?
The Angel on the Bridge in Henley-on-Thames.
Really? Mm. You were washing dishes in
washing there. Dishes. I did since I was like 14 or 15.
And then Kags, you also working in a pub as well?
It was, yeah, the Rose. And then also babysitting. And then also, do you remember when recruitment companies, when you'd be like a waiter and you'd go to...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did that as well.
I did that.
Yeah.
I got fired though.
Yeah. Why did you get fired? Oh, because you were...
I was working at Wembley and I like set up a sort of side business there. They were like, you can't reserve tables or anything like that. And I started to, and I'd like put champagne out and stuff. So all the like footy guys would come and like put 50 quid in my pocket. So I was making a lot of money.
Like you're a stripper. Yeah. Just spraying money.
Getting the bottles ready. I was like, this is great. And then actually I opened a beer after work and on site and they fired me.
He fired you for that?
After work?
But then when he fired he fired, and it was me and a friend of ours that you actually know.
He fired you and added you on Facebook afterwards, something weird like that.
He fired us and he was like, you're busted, and like took us off somewhere. And we were walking behind him and we were kind of giggling because we like had this beer. And as he was walking in front of us, he tripped up on a wire. We just like started laughing at him. And then, yeah, there was no going back.
That's the worst. He turned out, I would have gone off.
Your fate was sealed.
I would have gone up and run. I would have gone, no, I just ran. I just freaked out. I still remember to this day, it's one of the funniest times ever I had in my life is when I was at Leeds University. And when you went down into the city centre, there was a little road just past Leeds Met University. And it had become solid ice because of the rain. It was solid ice.
Solid ice.
Solid ice. I was yeah. Like, solid ice.
Yeah, solid ice.
Sorry, it's the band.
It had become solid ice. You know the band? It had become the band.
But that it had become solid ice. And you know that black ice that you can get?
Yeah. That you can get, what, like on the side of a road? Where am I going to get some solid ice, black ice at this hour?
It's going to see solid ice and get some black ice.
I'm a solid ice. I was watching people walk across this solid ice. And honestly, I sat there for half an hour because people would walk down. You'd see people with like huge files of books walk towards it. And you go, oh, here they go. And as they would walk across it, they would just wipe out. And it was honestly the funniest
thing. That does
sound
really funny.
It was the funniest thing. And every single time that you'd go, "Whoa!" Sitting on this hill watching them. Oh, God, the times. Right, Kags, also, what we like to do in the podcast is Francis gives us a question, okay? Yeah. It's called the question of the week, and we try and answer it, and he tells us in part two. It's very simple. It's very cool. So I don't understand why you just don't have it in your own head. That's what I don't understand. Have you put it on charge somewhere?
Oh, here it is. Yeah, I got it. How many women on Earth...
Yes, it's like us.
Could
you're not even reading your phone, you're making this up.
How many women on Earth could you impregnate with one ejaculation?
Is this, if you made this up, is actually in your phone?
No.
I'm asking you.
Okay, one ejaculation. All right, so Kags, you want to take control of this one?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. I'd say, I'm gonna go big. Okay. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking big as well. I'm thinking
Jamie's
real.
Sounds so creepy.
Hey, Kex, I'm thinking real big.
You think about this a lot, don't you, Jamie?
In my bedroom, I ponder, how many women could I impregnate if I ejaculated? I'm going to go big. I'll take it. I reckon 70 million.
70 million?
Yeah.
Kaggy?
I wasn't going that big. Yeah, oh, my God.
I reckon that big. In theory, right? It's in theory.
Well, yes, on the numbers, basically.
Yeah. You've now changed your answer. You're going to say like 12.
I was going to say like 100,000, but maybe it's...
No, don't. I could be completely wrong. I normally am.
Well, you have more experience with this sort of thing.
I don't have more experience of ejaculating.
You've impregnated quite a few.
You have more experience with ejaculating sperm than I do.
Yeah, you've only just got your penis.
How dare you say she has more...
Things have changed in the last couple of years. We'll talk about that in part two.
I forgot.
So hang on, here we go. So how many of you guessed? 100,000 or more?
But now I want to put it up to 500,000.
500,000. You said right. 70 million.
I said 70 million. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
The answer will be revealed to you both in part two.
Okay, guys, in part two, also stick around because we got Kaggy. We're going to play her song, which we are so excited about. That's the reason why you're, apart from hanging out with us, you know, we want to listen to this. I mean, the song is wicked.
Thank you. Jamie's been so supportive of the song.
Dude, I couldn't be prouder of you. Like, this is the thing which people like don't realize is that we're going to talk about this in part two, but it's so hard to do something like that for yourself. It really is. It takes a lot of work. It's a lot of stress. People think it's easy, but if it was easy, everyone would do it.
And also to produce something that you are actually happy to share, right? Mm. Like, because obviously music is something.
It took a really long time to get to this point.
To the point where you think it's like good enough, and you want to share it. Yeah.
So, hey, kids and older people who are listening to this.
All ages.
All ages. Hey, yes, you,
actually,
Terry,
who's listening
right now. Hey, yes, you, Janet.
No, look, I was going to ask a question to our listeners. If you think you are one of our oldest listeners, we'd love to hear from you because we'd like to find out who our oldest listener is.
Mm. All right, yep. Okay, good one. Yeah. Thanks for that, guys.
Slash, I would.
Hey, if you want to hear more of Francis' banter, stick around for part two. We'll see you in a bit.